Welcome to Street Talk, S&P Global Market Intelligence podcast that offers listeners a deep dive into issues facing financial institutions and the investment community. I'm Nathan Sovall, and today we're talking about one of the big questions in banking. What do we do with the branch? How do we reach our customers? And what methods of distribution, whether we're talking about traditional branches, digital channels, or other means, are best suited to attract customers in the modern age? My guest is Jill Castilla, the president and CEO of Citizens Bank of Edmond, and someone who's taken a variety of creative approaches to the issue that we're going to talk a little bit about today. Thanks for joining us, Jill.
That's great to be here. How are you doing, Nathan?
Good. I know your story a little bit. I've gotten to hear you talk about it, but I wanted to sort of start out making sure some of our listeners know a little bit about your bank and your history with the institutions before we talk about some of the specific things that y'all have done. You came to the bank, you know, executive role in 2009 as part of a broader management change. The bank was 100 years old, had about $300 million in assets and had some credit issues. And not long after, you entered an agreement with the Fed. And the next couple of years, you worked through those and then exited that order in the spring of 12, returned the profitability, and started producing a 9-plus ROE. And it seems to me like at that point, that's when you started to go on offense and kind of rethink your marketing strategy. One, do you think that's sort of a fair statement of sort of timing? And two, am I right that it began with social media?
That was great. The little synopsis of, definitely the situation, Nathan. Our reputation took a big hit during that turnaround. We were really the only bank in a metropolitan area in Oklahoma that suffered during the financial crisis. And so a lot of negative attention was placed upon us. We were really fortunate in that our recovery coincided with really the popularity of social media taking off. And when you're in a troubled situation, you don't have excess funds for marketing. So it allowed us to really have guerrilla marketing tactics that we could utilize using social media that quickly changed community perception about the bank.
And one of the things that the bank did around that time, While working on, as you say, guerrilla marketing campaigns through social media, you shed a lot of your branch network. How did that decision come about? If I'm correct, it was three of the five. Is that right? And that's not a light decision to make.
We actually had six. Whenever we were recovering in March of 2012, when we were released from a written agreement, we had six locations at that time. One was leased on a university campus, and three of them were remote locations, just 2.5 miles away from our main bank spot, but recently built branch structures that were beautiful and on heavily trafficked intersections. And then we had two locations that were located within a block of each other in downtown Edmond. So right after we kind of released from the written agreement to kind of deem now a not a troubled institution anymore in March 2012, I immediately shifted the conversation with the board about efficiency and just analyzing the branch's profitability. We were losing $500,000 each year on those remote branches. And whenever we looked at traffic coming to the branch location, we found that really it was just the drive-throughs that were being used. There wasn't really a lot of activity happening in those branch lobbies. There weren't any a lot of loans. There weren't a lot of new accounts that were being opened. It was primarily just shifting of accounts from original bank location to those remote branches. And so our board built those branches and was very proud of them. They were initially very resistant to considering selling the locations. We knew that there was still aggressive branch activity, buildings, purchases happening in our market, so we thought that there would be banks that would be interested in purchasing that. And the board finally let me put one branch basically up for sale, but I didn't know which one would be the most marketable, so they allowed me kind of to put them all out there with the understanding that we'd only be selling one. We had a great offer for real estate only for three of the branches. We ended up just closing the university location that we rented, sold the three branch locations, real estate only, had a nice gain on sale, retained all the deposits, and we were told by our investment banker that we could expect to lose quite a bit of those deposits. And the bank that purchased the real estate had offered us to purchase the deposits as well, but we thought that would be a difficult explanation for our customers. We utilized social media, YouTube specifically, to communicate with our staff and our customer base, as well as letters, and the reasoning why we were considering doing a change, and then when we executed the change, what would be happening, and what how we were going to help maintain services that were closer to them, even though they'd be losing the branch. And that's whenever we had thought we were going to be putting ITMs close to those previous branch locations. Instead, we found that those weren't available to us, so we ended up developing our own kind of video teleconferencing out of the ATM to basically be a surrogate for that previous drive-through experience that they had at the branch location. And as a result, we didn't have any net customer loss. We only had net customer growth with the consolidation of the branches, and allowed us to really focus on more customer experience through our different channels once we were able to really have our culture centralized into downtown Edmond. We ended up last year consolidating our two downtown locations that, again, were a block away from each other into one. Legally, we have two locations because we have a drive-through down the street, and then our main original bank location that is now our only lobby experience that we operate.
Well, and you talked about one piece of what you made sure to do when you closed those branches, and that is give the customers channels for interaction through the ATM network. But something else you've done that's very interesting is that, you know, when I think of the purpose of branches, particularly the day, it's not just limited to transaction. It somewhat is branding. It's expensive branding, though, and you've done a variety of things to sort of fill that void, if it is a void, and I think you filled it quite well. One is cash mobs that I know you've talked about, where you give staffers a few dollars to spend at local businesses, and they make sure to promote that spend, and so you see the bank giving back to the community, being active community. But another one, and it's even a larger venture, is Herd on Herd, a community street festival with as food trucks and music and lots of people that launched a little over 3 years ago. Can you talk a little bit about how the bank is involved in supporting that event and sort of, you know, what kind of time and cost commitment comes with it?
Sure. And we started Herd on Herd, this downtown street festival, because at that time, downtown Edmond was struggling a little bit, and we're the only bank in downtown Edmond. And the reason that's the case is that parking's really difficult and that there just isn't a lot of economic activity that's happening in this area. We wanted to change that. It's a historic area. We thought it had a lot of potential, very committed business owners that were here already. So we thought if we could have a street festival, we could really turn up the cool factor of downtown Edmond and make coming to the bank a destination as much as it is as executing your financial transactions. And so we did the first one. We had hoped, at that very first Herd on Herd, it was three bands that we got to play. We were in the stage. We had about six or seven food trucks that were at that very first one, and some pop-up shops, about 10 or so of them, mainly local businesses that were closing in downtown Edmond that normally aren't open on a Saturday night. They were now having a pop-up shop where they could sell their goods. We had hoped to have about 500 people show up so that the food trucks would come back if we ever did it again. They were really resistant about coming to downtown Edmond because they had never been successful here. And those food trucks sold out within an hour, and we had over 3,000 people at that very first Herd on Herd. It was our staff planning the whole thing, volunteering the whole thing. We were all emptying trashes. We were all coordinating, getting tables set up and such. It's evolved now. This is actually our fifth season of doing Herd on Herd, and we regularly have 25 to 35,000 people that come to this bank event. We don't just put our logo on it. We are the ones planning it again and volunteering it, and we don't take any other sponsorships. The investment, the first school season we did, so we do this March through October, every third Saturday, we spent about $70,000 that first year, and then we started strategizing about how can we make this sustainable and benefit our community, and not only just spurring the economic activity, but have a direct contribution to nonprofits in the area. So then we worked with our vendors that sell craft beer and that sell our branded T-shirts and asked them to donate 15% of their gross sales to the Edmond Public School Foundation. And we had already been given the school foundation $20,000 a year for a five-year commitment. And so we thought this might be able to take the place of that contribution and then make the event closer to a break even. And then since we were starting to have a lot more, we could show that we could bring tens of thousands of people to downtown Edmond and that food trucks would have a successful night, we started increasing the fees for food trucks and for the pop-up shops to attend the event, which started offsetting the cost quite a bit more. So now we're around $20,000 to $30,000 that costs us to put on Herd on Herd. It's resulted annually in more than $5 million of economic activity in Edmond. We get tons of earned media as a result. We're on TV, radio, and print, with only using social media to promote it, so we're not doing any paid advertising to get that type of visibility for the bank. But it really didn't start off as a marketing tactic. It really started as more of a community building, making sure that where our home is in downtown Edmond is someplace that's really special.
You're talking about bringing thousands of people. I think the number I saw you mention at a recent event was over 100,000 people last year, and at a fraction of a cost to the branch. Now, you are talking about some sweat equity that goes in with it, but you get the added benefit of not only just the branding, but the economic impact. And as long as I've been doing this, folks have said, community banks are thermometers of their local economy. So, you get the positive brand, and you also get the benefit of what it does to the local economy. I'd say that's a pretty big win-win.
For sure. We really believe that if we do good, we'll do well, and that's certainly been the case with Herd on Herd. We've had tens of millions of loans that have been sourced to us from Herd on Herd, just people coming that Monday after Herd on Herd saying, I want to move my business accounts, my business loans, to your bank. I want to refinance my mortgage with your bank because I want to be part of the good that you're doing in our community.
You've got another new venture, if you want to call it that, or new sort of idea that I heard you talk about in the conference we were both at in Wisconsin, that seemed like it kind of came out of sort of one of those conversations, and it's called Midtown Bank, if I'm not mistaken. And the way I heard you talk about it, it's almost sort of like a new kind of branch concept. I don't know if that's fair, but can you talk a little bit about that opening, what it is and sort of how it came about?
Yeah, legally it's an electronic banking facility. So it's all self-service. It came from, before we started Herd on Herd, we were involved in a street festival that happened in the Midtown area of Oklahoma City called H&H, and it was the largest food truck festival in the United States. And we had been wanting to get involved in that food truck festival, and they already had sponsors, and we don't have the money to just put our logo on something and pay for it. We like to have more of that sweat equity. So I told them if they ever needed ATMs that we would be there for them. And they said, oh, no, we've got an ATM provider. And they called me on a Wednesday, and their event is on Friday night, and they said our ATM provider backed out, and we were able to get ATMs to that space, and that by Friday night. And it took a lot of work to make that happen because we don't have, like, a fleet of ATMs to deploy. And since that time, that community has really embraced us, and, we've been there whenever they've had calls where they needed something done. And we started getting requests from them, and they were also, I should say, very giving whenever we were doing Herd on Herd. They helped make that successful. This is like a lot of millennial business owners there in Midtown. It's a lot of bars, restaurants, just a really hip area of Oklahoma City, and there's not any community banks that are there. So the epicenter kind of all economic activity in Oklahoma City flows through Elemental Coffee, a little coffee shop in Midtown. And the owners of that shop called us and said, we want to move all our business to Citizens Bank of Edmond. We're tired of the big banks and being impersonal to us. We want to be part of the community building efforts that you're doing in our metropolitan area. And we said, well, we're really not in the branch business, so you'd have to drive 30 miles to come and see us. It doesn't seem reasonable. We welcome the business, but I'm not sure if this is a great fit for you. And as we went and met with them, and they started telling us really what their needs were, and we started identifying potentially technology that could fit those needs and that we could serve them. And we just happened to be in that coffee shop talking, and a person next to me thought that they knew someone that had a couple hundred square feet for lease across the street from the coffee shop. And then, you know, we were Googling at the same time to see if we could find the technology that would fit this, and primarily cash needs and coin needs, 24/7 or at least something close to that. And within a couple of weeks, we were able to get the lease signed and identified all the equipment so that we could basically provide 24/7 service to our high-intensity cash businesses, bars, restaurants, coffee shops, and stuff like that, that could make deposits, do change orders, get rolled coin on demand at this location. So we had a soft opening and have had our current customers utilizing that facility, and we've had an incredible amount of customer acquisition in that area. It's already paid for itself with the loans that we've acquired just from announcing it that we were going into that space. And again, it's just kind of brought us into a community that we really weren't trying to penetrate, but that invited us because we're like-minded.
Right, and you came with it without a one-size-fits-all approach at all. You know, just said, what need do we need to solve here? And you mentioned that I think you're doing another one that I find really interesting, too, that I want you to talk about more, Vault 405, that if I understand correctly, it's a completely different kind of operation, but you mentioned how you recently moved out of that last branch in Edmond. But you're redesigning it into what sounds like almost like a co-working space to me. And the way I think about it, but I want to hear you talk about it, is it's thinking about what, you know, the purpose of a branch is to serve and attract customers. It's almost like you found a new way to get at that with this. Can you talk a little bit about that and how it'll work?
Sure. So our branch, when we renovated our single branch lobby, and it has Wi-Fi access, and it's all collaborative office spaces for our staff. So we work in a very kind of co-officing type of environment at the bank. It's a little bit different. None of us have, not even I have, a dedicated office. We all can use private spaces, and so we know how kind of co-officing works. And whenever we vacated the branch that was a block away from us, it has excessive square footage, and they had just acquired a building right before our turnaround that was 12,000 square feet, and it was going to be executive office spaces. They were pretty spectacular in how they were finished out. We kind of swore that we would never use those offices. We wanted to be in front of customers rather than kind of being tucked away in an executive center. And so that building has not been very well utilized since even it was purchased and renovated. But I had some opportunities to go and speak at some various co-officing spaces in large metropolitan areas around the U.S. and thought that the space that we had vacated potentially could be utilized for that purpose. And we did some real basic renovations and, again, soft opened it at the beginning of this year. We already have about 80% of our offices reserved, and our formal opening is March the 1st. So it's been incredibly popular. It's what WeWork or what traditional co-officing spaces kind of look like around the country. So we have that now in downtown Edmond. We're able to create some density of office spaces. We're targeting having 200 clients in that space, all of which are Citizens Bank of Edmond customers. This is like an add-on benefit to having an account with us, and you can pay additional membership fee to have an office or a dedicated workspace or co-officing space at that spot. And it also has a podcast studio, which the bank plans to use and is available for our customers and the occupants of that space. And then we'll be providing some training and resources so the entrepreneurs that are part of it and customers that are part of our bank have resources, whether it's SBA or it's Million Cups or Venture Capitalist, and that we're providing resources to be able to help them grow their businesses successfully.
So it's a new way to attract customers, maybe a little bit of a fee business, but, I mean, the biggest thing to me is just tremendous customer stickiness that you gain from that, which is something, you know, we're all trying to get at, particularly in this rate environment. So, I mean, I think that's pretty tremendous. You know, the thing that sort of is consistent for me about the way you've done things is that there isn't a lot of consistency, except that you've looked for customer need when you're thinking about doing a new venture. What would you say to somebody who's trying to rethink their approach, and what kind of challenges, you know, could you face? I mean, is it a huge benefit that you guys are smaller and you're able to be more nimble about this, or you know, is it just as much that don't take the one size fits all approach?
Yeah, I think it's really knowing yourself and being self-aware. We really try to take our liabilities and flip those into strengths. So we had excess office space and excess occupancy expense. And so how do we utilize that to be a competitive advantage rather than just whining about it? So that was something that would be a monkey on our back from an efficiency ratio standpoint, having all that occupancy excess, but being able to now utilize and leverage it to being something that's now an asset to the bank and potentially an earning asset that's contributing to the bottom line rather than detracting from it. And then also I think it helps cutting your losses and saying, you know, this is a dog, whether it's a branch or it's a function that you have or products that you have, being able to call a dog and cut it off and do it in a way in which you're communicating with your customers well, and then creating at the same time some win for the customer, not just having the cutting the dog, but come up with some way that is a benefit for the customer and that it also is inspiring to the staff. But you have to figure out who you are first. And I think once you that self-awareness allows you to capitalize and identify what your competitive advantages are and see areas of growth and opportunity. We also kind of liken ourselves to MacGyver, that, you know, we can make something work. Once we figure out a plan of action, that we can utilize limited resources and do more with less. And we really see that as one of our strengths. But that self-awareness is what kind of got us there. Others may have where they have really deep pockets, and so that they can do large-scale marketing campaigns. We don't have that. But as a result, we see that as an advantage because it requires to think a little bit more creatively and utilize social media more effectively because we don't have the ability to go and just buy advertising space. So really become self-aware and change those when you're doing your SWOT analysis, those weaknesses and threats, change those to strengths and opportunities.
Well, great. Well, Jill, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
All right. Thank you. It's great talking with you.